Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Got no reason for the things I fear, the things that plague me when I see and hear. Dime's a nickel and a nickel's none. I'll throw myself into the Sunday sun. A summer Sunday when you went insane.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I'm just asking for an indication this evening from the City Council whether or not I'm authorized to go expend the time to do that work.
I'm a yes in that.
I'm a yes as well. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I've had many discussions with even staff, and some of the stuff that's been going on behind closed doors and the things that the staff has had to deal with is unacceptable. Unacceptable for a woman, unacceptable for a man, unacceptable, period. And it needs to stop. And I'm sorry, but I don't think just an apology letter is enough. So I would like to see what you can find out.
So how many city staff have you spoke to, Jerry?
I've spoke to a lot of city staff.
Well, that's not the answer. One, two, three. Just asking, how many?
A lot.
A lot's not an answer.
It is an answer, and I don't have to put anybody out on blast, but I'm telling you.
I'm not asking you for names. I'm asking you for a count.
I could sit here, and I've got probably two hands worth of people that I've talked to, so it's a lot. And when people call me personally, I mean, on my personal off time, as a woman, the things that went on, it needs to stop.
Well, you can't answer the question. Understand.
I think she did answer the question, Mike. So that's Mike Cusack, one of the two allies of Heather Lindsay on the council. He and Marilyn Farrow. That'll be important later, actually. Keep that name in mind, Farrow. They want to defend the mayor. They do not like Alex Andrade. They defended Don Molinaro back in the day, the city clerk. The backdrop to all of this is that after Mayor Lindsay tried to get Alex fired last year and the city council said no, called a special meeting for that purpose. And then they fired the city clerk, which had been her ally. And then she filed a complaint with the bar against Alex. And then that came to light. And then Jeff Snow, and they dismissed it and said that it was politics and she should have known better. And then that's how I read their response is, what are you doing? Anyway, and then Jeff Snow, city councilman, one of the 5 to 6 aligned against the mayor and with Alex Andrade, said to Alex, hey, is there anything we can do about her? Because she's causing all this drama. What can you do? And he put together a brief memo, like first blush at this, which indicated, for example, that he says the evidence shows that she conspired with the attorney for Don Molinaro, not only to brief him on the things that were being used against her, but then to actually fabricate a public record and make it seem like she hadn't worked with him and make it seem like he hadn't been served properly with the notice against her, and actually did texts and emails that seemed to cover that up and create a public showing face that indicated she didn't collude with him. As an example, there was an HR complaint against her involving stalking, as an example, which, by the way, her response to him on that was to Mr. Andrade. This is Heather Lindsay writing back to him when he brought that to her attention about 2 weeks ago. I have reviewed your email from yesterday and its two attachments. Your communication is offensive, and I interpret what you have sent as a threat. I am including the city council as they should have been consulted. I have also included for their reference your prior threat from January. As you are aware, I offered to be investigated by the state attorney. The state attorney has taken no action in response, presumably because my choice to block you on my cell phone is not a violation of the law. Remember, she has blocked him on her cell phone, won't talk to him. So there's a lot of backdrop here, but the short question is whether Alex Andrade, the city attorney, will continue to investigate her and produce materials or get opinions from the state attorney about a possible legal violation, maybe perjury is his allegation, whether the attorney general for violating her duty as the mayor, helping to fabricate a claim against the city or improper management of city resources, for example, dealing with people, or whether the stalking claim, that would be an SA thing, the ethics commission, you know, there's a lot of different folks that they can look at to see what goes on. Now we get to the new stuff. There's always so much. Casey Powell, who's usually kind of he's Switzerland a lot of times. I mean, he does vote with the majority, but he's sort of Switzerland. He says, I think we ought to let this go forward and find out where it goes, because we've done stuff like this in the past.
Communication that I've reviewed that was provided by the mayor, I know what her opinion is, and I think that it's an opportunity for her opinion to be validated as well as anything else.
Yeah, I mean, she might wind up to be vindicated by any of the requests that they make of superior agencies. Gavin Hawthorne, who had been slow to the party, but now definitely sides against the mayor and Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow frequently.
I agree with Councilman Powell. There's also, too, I mean, how can the public get a true answer if we're just going to state opinions and they're all one-sided opinions, obviously, and go to the professionals? I mean, if the mayor can go to a professional and use a bar complaint, why can't we as a council do the same thing? We may get the same answer. They may come back and say it's political.
Exactly. They may come back and say it's all political or something else. Roxanne Meese, another one of the larger majority voting bloc in the city council.
I just think that there's so many times over my term here, my 3 years, that the council makes the decision. We vote, but the mayor doesn't back us up. She goes out into public and says what she thinks, but she's supposed to follow the will of the council about many different things over the year, from COVID to all kinds of things. She's got on major news networks and said, you know, that we voted this way, but she doesn't agree with it, that we're wrong. And I mean, it's just embarrassing. It really is. And
now I will actually disagree with her on this. I'll side with Mayor Lindsay on this one. I don't think that the mayor disagreeing with the council is a problem. That is certainly her First Amendment power. She is an independently elected official. She does not have to take the party line, so to speak. Now, she shouldn't represent that that's the city's position. But if she just says what her view is, I have no problem with dissenting members of councils or commissions or anybody else. That is certainly their right as elected officials. In the meanwhile, they keep having this kind of bickering about all of this, and Randy Jorgensen steps in and says, look, I think we're done here, aren't we? Alex has a clear director from the city council to move forward. Let's be done. At which point, Mayor Heather Lindsay wants to finally have a say. We'll come back to that in a second. Jake's got traffic on the fives. Jake?
Okay, not seeing any major slowdowns on our roadways. If you are on I-10 eastbound exiting onto Highway 87 near Milton this morning, we do have an accident with injuries and roadblock right on the exit ramp as you're getting off of I-10 eastbound onto 87. Otherwise, around town, I'm not seeing anything. No other accidents or slowdowns to report. If you see anything on the roadways and you want to let us know about it, let us know on our traffic tip line. You can call or text 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by ECUA. ECUA Bulk Waste Service is now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, or maybe you're not quite thinking about it yet, but you know as soon as I mention, like, oh, yeah, that's been too long, and this car doesn't make me happy anymore, go get a car that makes you happy. I mean, seriously, go to Frontier Motors, because the trade-off is usually you wait too long and it actually winds up costing you more to keep repairing a car that you're not going to keep than it would cost you to just get a new one and enjoy it better, right? And you kind of wait too long out of the annoyance factor of shopping for a new car, or the weird belief that just sticking with the one you've got is actually better financially. And it may not be, right? A lot of times it may not be. But go to Frontier and look around. They got 300 different cars and trucks on the lot. You can see a whole variety of them, test drive several of them, and then, you know, compare and decide, is it right maybe to move on to that next vehicle that's going to be newer, better, lower mileage, better condition, and maybe, I can't promise you, you do the math, save you money. I mean, that's entirely possible. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell him Andrew McKay says hi. So back to the drama in Milton that never does seem to end. Mayor Heather Lindsay finally speaks in the meeting.
At this point, it's understandable that Mr. Andrade would be unhappy that I submitted a confidential inquiry to the Florida Bar.
You think?
I do not think it was productive for him to publish it to the council.
How dare he tell you?
I had a professional obligation from my perspective and a right to submit a confidential inquiry, requesting a review of his conduct.
Trying to get the bar to do what she couldn't do in the meeting. My read, okay, when she tried to get him fired and then tried to get him in trouble with the bar after she couldn't get him fired. Then she says this, and I think this is a live dispute. I'm not sure which way I fall on this one.
I did not submit it on behalf of the city. I listed the city because the city is his client, and that is the purpose of the form, is to let the bar know what the context is.
If she's representing the complaint against him as coming from the city of Pensacola and she's the mayor representing the city, then that's a problem. If she's just an independent attorney who happens to be the mayor and the client is the city of Milton and that's all she's saying, then that's probably fine. Okay. And that distinction, I don't know whether that's a distinction that matters to the bar or not, but that's a good question, because if the city didn't actually vote on this issue, then she shouldn't be acting on behalf of the city if that's what happened.
This really isn't the time or place to address the allegations one by one, but I do deny that I have committed any crime.
Now, that's clear, but she didn't say she didn't do anything wrong, didn't do anything inappropriate. She only said she didn't commit any crime, which is just kind of an interesting thing to say for a lawyer. Of course, words matter to a lawyer. She is. She actually works for the city of Pensacola as a lawyer, had been the city of Milton lawyer before. Anyway, back to Mayor Heather Lindsay's comments.
It is concerning to me that an employee would think that I have stalked her. I was stunned to see that. Absolutely stunned.
Yeah, that's a pretty serious allegation.
I have invited questions so that I can participate in an investigation to clear my name.
Which is understandable.
I am concerned for her, and I've expressed that concern to Mr. Jorgensen and Ms. Neely. I have assured
if I could, until that's an inactive investigation, any comment in regard to that specific, I would ask, Mayor, that you refrained from making those comments here this evening.
I felt that I needed to say something after Ms. Sebastio's comments that indicated that employees felt things had happened behind
closed
doors.
I didn't give any names, though.
I haven't stated names either, folks. I'm simply saying that for your knowledge and for the public's benefit, I have already committed not to initiate any contact with that employee. That is an appropriate response. That is not disclosing anything inappropriate. That is simply assuring everyone that I'm proceeding in a professional manner consistent with our policies. So I think I have a right to say that, and I will say that.
So the city attorney and the city manager, who had bowed out because he didn't want to be a part of all of this conversation, said, whoa, this is an active investigation with a city employee. You need to not talk about all of that.
I believe it's Mr. Andrade's duty to defend the city against a grievance, not to use this as an opportunity to attack me. I don't understand what has been referenced against me in large part, but as soon as I do understand those allegations, I will defend them. Because I have not violated the law.
Which, again, that's a very specific statement only about legal culpability.
I believe we should be focusing on the people's work. Employees, ratepayers, taxpayers, and residents are not served by this divisive drama that seems to really be about a conflict between Mr. Andrade and me as professionals, perhaps. Perhaps the best way to solve it is for a mediator to work with the two of us to help us come to some meeting of the minds about our situation.
Of course, you could just talk to him. I mean, or take his texts or calls instead of blocking him. I mean, it's just, Alex does work with a lot of people who disagree with him in the legislature. It's possible, and as a lawyer, maybe you guys could just talk. You don't necessarily need to have a media. I don't know. Maybe you feel unsafe, and so, no, not acceptable.
I really am at a loss to suggest any other solution. Mr. Andrade has a lot of anger towards me. I do not know how to resolve that. It certainly can't be resolved in a meeting, but perhaps there are other ways that he and I can work on our relationship.
I mean, it's possible he's angry at you for trying to get him fired so many times. It's also possible that he just doesn't think that you're competent and are actually getting in the way of the city doing its job and are working against the will of the council and violating your public duty. I mean, could be either. it's sort of could be any of that, right? So, yeah, the series that has yet to be canceled. they didn't have a vote. It's just a general will of the council, because they actually have to have a vote at their next meeting about whether he's going to continue on with this. But clearly, there are five or six people that are willing to vote to continue to have him produce some kind of material to ask the AG, the state attorney, the ethics commission, what should be done about the Heather Lindsay issue in the city of Milton. 7:25 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Do be aware that there's weather sort of it's not quite coming here yet, and it looks like we might miss the south end of it, but there is some rain going to be off and on throughout the morning. I mean, if I look out my window right now, it's wet but not raining here at I-10 and 110. Maybe we don't get the worst of it. It's still kind of an open question whether the Blue Angels are going to fly this morning, just to keep that in mind. Jake has got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
All right. Looks like we're getting picked up for another season, Andrew.
This
is sounding good.
It's never going to end. I wish it would, though.
Yeah, I know.
It'd be a loss for the radio show, but a gain for the city of Milton. Yeah. So.
Oh, wow. I just realized by writing it out, Days of Our Milton, D-O-O-M. Doom.
Days of Our Milton. That's funny.
All right. This traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Not really seeing anything on our roadways to tell you about. If you're on I-10 eastbound headed toward Milton, if you exit onto Highway 87 south, we do have an accident with a roadblock and some injuries there. Crews are on the scene. It's going to cause a little bit of slowdown getting off of I-10 eastbound onto Highway 87 south. Other than that, though, really not seeing any other accidents or slowdowns to tell you about. Highway 98 westbound through Gulf Breeze is looking good. Highway 29 south through Cantonment is accident-free. Davis Highway is clear from the I-10 overpass through Creighton, Brenton, Fairfield. And we're looking good from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W. If you see anything else out there on the roadways that's slowing us down, let me know about it. Call or text me, 437-1620. Executive Landscaping, call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KelleyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru. Get yours during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Easter is more than just colorful eggs, chocolate bunny rabbits, and pretty baskets. All those things may have their place, but I invite you to join us at Northstone Baptist Church as we consider the primary message of Easter, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you visit, you'll find that Northstone is a welcoming group of Christ-centered believers right here in Pensacola. Also for Easter Sunday, our choir will present an Easter cantata entitled The Easter Lily. This cantata will be fun for children and people of all ages. The service starts at 10:30, and after the cantata, everyone is invited to join us for a lunch fellowship. Easter Sunday is a celebration of Jesus' victory over death and therefore his offer of eternal life. So please be our guest Easter Sunday, March 31st at Northstone Baptist Church here in Pensacola. I hope to see you there.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Some I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw.
Oh, man. I love Blazing Saddles. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
The homes in Los Angeles and Miami of Sean Diddy Combs were raided by Homeland Security over reported allegations of sex trafficking yesterday. That investigation being handled by Homeland Security may be tied to some recent lawsuits.
All right. Very good. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. He'll join us here in studio. Do keep in mind that the possibility of inclement weather is sort of throughout the morning wind, rain. We were a 2 in the threat zone of a 1 to 5, so some concern about the possibility of severe weather later on this morning.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Rescue crews are searching a river in Baltimore where a container ship crashed into and took down the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
At this time, this is an active search and rescue mission. We know there were individuals on the bridge at the time of the collapse working on the bridge.
Maryland State Transportation Secretary Paul Wiedefeld. 2 rescues are reported, 1 person in serious condition. The fire chief suggests maybe 7 people are missing, but that number could change. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is expected to announce a running mate today for his independent presidential campaign.
Several names have been floated as a possible VP pick, and the campaign has confirmed 2 of those on the short list, NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers and former pro wrestler and Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. Another name rumored to be under consideration, California-based attorney and mega donor Nicole Shanahan.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. The announcement's happening at an event in Oakland, California. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got cloudy skies. It is 70 degrees across the area. Again, watching the weather here today with a possibility of some rain and storms. A motorcyclist has died after crashing into a bicycle that was crossing the street last night. This happened on North Palafox and Pensacola Boulevard. FHP says a 67-year-old Pensacola man was riding his motorcycle headed north on North Palafox when he crashed into a man that was riding a bicycle. The motorcyclist was pronounced dead at the scene of that crash. The bicyclist was taken to Baptist Hospital with serious injuries. Florida Senator Rick Scott calling on the Biden administration to hold the communist regime in Cuba accountable for human rights atrocities. He says the administration needs to stop appeasing them.
What we're seeing now in Cuba should send a clear message to the world. Communism is a failed ideology that does nothing but lead to suffering and oppression.
Scott says the Cuban regime props up other dangerous dictators such as Maduro in Venezuela or Ortega in Nicaragua and is the root of instability across the region. He also says people have been protesting in Cuba throughout the economic and energy crisis there. And food shortages and blackouts as well, a common occurrence. Family members now confirming that the 3-year-old hit by an SUV Sunday night has died. Channel 3 reports that child is identified as Levi Austin Williams by family members.
He was enjoying his day out. He got to play on the swing set and dig in the dirt like a little boy. 1 second, it was gone. That's how quick they will take off.
And that is Lisa Oliver, Levi's grandmother, and she says he was autistic and crossed a fenced-in area during a family crawfish boil. FHP says the boy walked out in front of an SUV on Blue Angel Parkway. The driver couldn't stop in time. 2 people have died after a plane crash in St. Johns County. FHP says a Mooney M20 plane took off from a northeast Florida regional airport, but turned around when a door popped open. The plane crashed before the pilot could get back to the airport. And a new law giving parents a greater ability to protect their kids online. That, according to Governor DeSantis yesterday, he signed HB 3 into law. That prohibits kids under 14 from having a social media account. 14 and 15-year-olds can have accounts, but will have to have their parents' permission. The law also requires adult websites to use age verification to prevent minors from accessing inappropriate content. Governor DeSantis says social media harms kids in a variety of ways. He's calling this new law landmark legislation. And the Blue Angels came back home just last week. Today will be their first practice session of the 2024 season.
We are so excited to be headed your way this 2024 show season to bring to you the world-famous Blue Angels flight demonstration.
And that is Blue Angel number 7, Lieutenant Connor O'Donnell. On practice days, the Blues hit the skies at about 10:30 a.m. NAS Pensacola says visitors can enter through the west gate of the base on Blue Angel Parkway. They'll open those gates up at 9 a.m. It is 7:35, and Jake's got our traffic on the fives.
Not seeing any major slowdowns or accidents on our roadways. If you are on I-10 eastbound headed toward Milton this morning, if you are exiting onto Highway 87 south, we do have an accident with injuries and roadblock right on the exit ramp there for I-10 south or I-10 eastbound, getting onto 87 south. And we just had a report from our traffic tip line saying that the traffic light at the end of that exit ramp getting onto 87 is blinking yellow at the moment. So just be aware, crews should be on the scene and getting that cleared up. Otherwise, around town, I'm not seeing anything. 98 east and westbound through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, not showing any issues there. Highway 29 is clear from the cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. Looks like Lillian Jackson, Navy, New Warrington, all accident-free on the west side. No slowdowns on Bayfront Parkway, and Cervantes is clear. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, you can call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms through the morning hours. A few storms could be strong. High today near 73 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55 degrees. For Wednesday, much calmer day with a high near 78. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 52. Staying nice for our Thursday with a high near 71 and a low near 48. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it is 70 in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Your next news at 8 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio. Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Adam Newman has submitted an unsolicited bid worth more than $500 million to acquire WeWork out of bankruptcy. That offer could go up to $900 million pending due diligence. The offer comes weeks after Newman had expressed interest in taking back the company he was ousted from 5 years ago. Microsoft has announced it selected company veteran Pavan Davuluri to lead its Windows operating system and Surface device teams. Davuluri, who joined Microsoft in 2001 and has been corporate vice president.
It's Volkswagen's 75th anniversary sales event, and Beatmore Imports is offering low APR rates to help celebrate. How low? How about 0% for 60 months on all 2024 Tiguan models? Or take $2,000 in customer cash and 1.9% for 60 months on all 2024 Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport models. Or take $3,000 in customer cash. It's time to celebrate and get behind the wheel of a Volkswagen SUV or crossover today. There's plenty to go around, but with rates like these, they may not be around for long. And don't forget about the 2024 Jetta, Golf GTI, and Golf R. They're all available, too, at Beatmore Imports. Celebrate the Volkswagen 75th anniversary sales event at Beatmore Imports today. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Beatmore Imports is at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit is PCI. Must take delivery by April 30th, 2024. See dealer for details.
Physical activity can make your life better. Spring is a great time to begin reaching your movement goals. The Florida Department of Health in Santa Rosa County is celebrating National Minority Health Month and promoting breastfeeding for all babies by holding the All Moms, All Babies 1 Mile Color Walk or Run on April 13th. This free, family fun event will be held at the Baghdad Mills Site Park beginning at 10 a.m. Call 850-983-5250 to pre-register or for more information. Visit health.gov/moveyourway for tips on how to get active.
Let's be honest, nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else paid our taxes? In Escambia County, they do. Our beautiful community draws millions of visitors who spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay help lower the tax burden for locals. Tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, rainy, overcast, crummy. But could be cold, and at least it's not cold. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, joins us every Tuesday at this time. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. We had a fair number of things in the news. One is you had an officer-involved shooting on Avery Street on Saturday. This was the one with the Z car, right, with the fare not getting paid, allegedly. Is that right?
Correct, yeah. We first got the call that a cab driver had been shot at and actually shot the window out of the cab. So we were in the area, along with Pensacola police officers, in the area circulating looking for a suspect in that particular crime. And then there was actually a passerby, I've watched a body camera, that said he's right over there, indicating where the suspect would be. How they knew, or you know, what they saw, I don't know, but they told us exactly where to go. So we went over there and we stopped. We had a couple of deputies stop a suspect that fit the description. They engaged in some conversation with him, asked him several times to keep your hands out of your pockets, keep your hands out of your pockets. And then at one point he fled. And then during that foot pursuit, the suspect turned towards the deputies and pointed a handgun at them. You know, as we said here plenty of times, you can't point a gun at us and expect prizes. Not good anyway.
Pointing a gun at somebody is an active threat of violence, deadly force.
It is reasonable to believe your life is in danger,
right,
or the life of someone else is in danger. So we shot a total of 12 rounds. I think three or so struck him, and then he was transported to the hospital, arrested. Yesterday we finished a ballistics that matched the gun that was found on him at the scene to the shell casings that matched that was shot, that shot the window out of the cab driver. So we'll be bringing those charges about on the cab driver. They were working on it yesterday evening, so it may be done by now. But otherwise, we intend to charge him with the cab driver as well.
And the in that cab case, I think the allegation is he didn't pay his fare, and the cabbie like was driving after him.
It was just following behind him.
Okay,
I'm assuming, you know, going to call law enforcement or trying to get his money.
And that's when he shot back.
As the cab driver passed by, he. He fired three rounds and actually shot out the back window of the cab, you know, clearly looking to shoot at the cab driver himself.
And that back window would be past him then also.
He drove past him.
No way
him,
to
right.
construe that as a threat by the cabbie or anything like that. I mean, just trying to
work
through the scenarios. Did he ever actually shoot at our deputies, or did they shoot at him only when he pointed the gun?
My early indication is that he, as soon as he pointed the gun, he's running at the same time.
Got it.
And our deputies fired before he can get a round off.
And so policy in this case is that's an FDLE investigation, I assume, and the deputies who shot are waiting pending the outcome of that investigation before they can get back in the field, or?
Well, not necessarily. They're on paid administrative leave until we have a preliminary investigation internally.
Okay.
And then I can put them back to work after we send them to a mandatory psychological assessment. And then we will obviously wait and see what the Florida Department of Law Enforcement says. Actually, what they do is they investigate. They don't really say good or bad, right or wrong. What they do is they investigate it and they present those findings to the state attorney's office, who determines whether it's
got it,
you know, legal or not legal.
So it's the internal investigation that clears them to return to duty. The FDLE investigation then to the SA. The SA decides to prosecute or not, and that's how you know whether anything else is going to happen in the case.
That's correct. Yeah,
okay.
I could put them back to work, you know, within a couple of days once I get the information. We send a lot of people out there in officer-involved shootings. We send a team, if you will, supervisors, captains, my chief deputy gets out there, and then they will assess the situation and provide a recommendation to me on when and if the deputy should be placed back on duty pending that mental assessment.
We also had a property that had been trouble over on our street wound up getting destroyed. You guys tore that down. Is that right?
Well, actually, the Skidman County Code Enforcement did it. Who did it. So I got to give credit where credit is due. They've done a really good job of working on some of these code violations. We have periodic meetings with them. We've really ramped up our engagement with the code enforcement so that we can share the information we get on nuisance properties, and they can help, you know, share the information they get on what violations take place. And then they were able to get a magistrate ordered that the destruction of the house itself. They don't take ownership of the property, is my understanding. We were just there to help and support in any way that we can. And I mentioned it before, and I'll say it again. The neighborhood is better because that particular home is, and it was a motorhome that was in front of it, and that motorhome was a site of a homicide that happened 2 weeks prior. So this has been a crap hole for a long time, and now it's gone.
There's a lot of cases where, you know, you have an otherwise pretty nice neighborhood, or decent enough, and then you got that one lot,
right?
And that one lot is the source of all the problems, all the complaints, all of the blight issues, whatever, and you know. Maybe a little raising of a home will solve a little bit of a problem, even if it's just a mobile home or something like that. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons, Scammy County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Jake's got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
All right. Not seeing any major slowdowns on our roadways to report to you this morning. We did have that accident earlier. This is going to be on I-10 eastbound, headed toward Highway 87 as you're exiting off of I-10 eastbound. Looks like we have an accident with injuries still being cleared up there, and the light at the end of that exit ramp is blinking yellow. Otherwise, around town, not seeing anything. If you do see anything on our roadways, let us know about it. 437-1620, call or text. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Sheriff, I wanted to ask you about something that surprised me a little bit. I was watching the county commission meeting, and I was looking through the Scambia County Commission meeting last week and looking through all of the things they vote on, and, you know, there's a lot of what they call consent items, consent agenda, which is stuff they don't really detail much in public, but it's all the things that are so obvious that they vote on them unanimously. It's usually no big deal. The item that caught my attention was the Escambia Board of County Commissioners policy against the use of excessive force. And it has to do with federal funding. And it says they receive federal funding through the Community Development Block Grant, CDBG. You might have heard of this before. Right. I mean, people might have heard of it that way. And as a part of that, the an act of 1974 requires subrecipients of federal funds to adopt and enforce a policy prohibiting the use of excessive force by law enforcement agencies within its jurisdiction against any individuals engaged in nonviolent civil rights demonstrations. And it goes on with a couple of whereases. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Escambia County, Florida, it is the policy of the county to prohibit the use of excessive force by law enforcement agencies within its jurisdiction against any individuals engaged in nonviolent civil rights demonstrations and to enforce applicable state and local laws against physically barring entrance or exit from a facility or location which is the subject of such nonviolent civil rights demonstration within its jurisdiction with due and proper consideration given to the extent and limits of the county's power and authority to do so. And they signed it unanimously with a 3-0 vote because Jeff Bergosh was not there and District 4 was vacant. Did the county consult with you at all on this?
No, that's the first I've heard about this particular resolution, which is I find odd because we resolve to do that every day. We do not. We have a policy that would prohibit excessive use of force. I'm not sure why you need a resolution. I guess it's a little insulting in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, like insulting that they, because it seems to me like they have to do this as a condition of getting the grants. Okay, so
yeah, I don't take it personally.
Insulting by the commission or insulting by the White House?
I think it's insulting that it's even something that you have to do because you would think that that was already done. You know, why would a Board of County Commissioners or Sheriff's Office or any law enforcement entity condone any excessive use of force? I mean, why would you do that? It was established years ago.
Yeah, 1974, but they just had this vote last week, which I agree. It just seemed like, why would they need to take a vote like this? Apparently they felt like they had to, but it's such a silly thing to be telling you, yes, we are against you using unreasonable force in nonviolent civil rights demonstrations, and we'll enforce it.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of already well within your policies and procedures. You're there to protect people's civil rights and protest nonviolent, right?
You know, my assumption, again, is that it's mandatory that they do that so they can get the funding. And if they say they're against excessive use of force, aren't we all?
Right, aren't we all? I love that answer. I also did want to get your thoughts. There was a case out of New York, a very sad case, where a police officer in New York was involved in a traffic stop. As far as I can tell, it seemed like a fairly routine traffic stop. They tried to tell the guy to get out. And he opened fire and shot a cop who was wearing a vest and killed him. And, you know, they got him out of the car and subdued eventually. But a vest is not a magic protection, and any traffic stop can be anything, anytime, right?
Well, you know, there are times that I get complaints, or my office gets complaints, that people say, hey, I was in a traffic stop and the deputy ordered me to stay in the car. You know, if there's a car full of people, they order us all to stay in the car. Well, because you don't know what's going to happen in some of these traffic stops. And all they're trying to do is stop you for speeding or stop you for some sort of a violation of the traffic laws. And anything can happen. You know, I've seen some body cam footage. I've seen some in-car footage. We've all seen them. If you go to YouTube, you can see all the ones that you want. But to find, you know, ones like that and to hear about them, it just obviously it's heartbreaking, you know, for the deputy or for the officer and his family. But it also kind of reminds you that we should be very happy, and we are, in Escambia County, to have men and women that are willing to do this job, because they are stopping people. They do not know their mindset. They do not know if they're wanted or not. They don't know what their situation is. Again, we talk about the officer-involved shooting we had. We were investigating an individual that had fired rounds into a cab. It's at midnight or just before midnight. Deputies are out there on the streets, and they're not driving around, you know, killing time. They're actively trying to find these bad guys, and sometimes the people that they're trying to find or trying to stop with traffic are bad guys, genuine bad guys that have nothing but ill intent, and they don't care who they shoot, they don't care who they harm, and again, that's just an example of what law enforcement officers live with every day.
And that's why, I mean, you know, whenever I'm done with an interview with you or PPD or Sheriff Johnson or whatever, I always say thank you, because I mean, I do not take it for granted. I'm amazed about the things that people do to keep my family safe and protect us every day, and I appreciate it. Last thing, you had a very sad note. We had the passing of Deputy Sheriff First Class Al Calber on Sunday. Is that right?
Yeah, Al was a great guy. Anyone that knew Al, he's been with us for a long time, and he was a longtime school resource officer at a couple of different schools. And so a lot of people that had probably grown up, and now they're hearing the story, and like, you know, that was their resource officer, because they take kind of ownership of their resource officer. Yeah. I hear people. I was never a resource officer, but because I was maybe a little bit before my time. Actually, it's not true, but there was not as many whenever I started. Al's done just a fantastic job. He had been battling an illness for some time. He has a wonderful family, and we've been working with him over the last couple of years. We're heartbroken about it. He has touched so many lives in such a positive manner, and he's certainly one of the good ones.
You also have an event coming up, Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, April 20th. We'll talk more about that when we get a little bit closer, but we're just under a month out from that. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, sir, as always, and I say it every time, thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for keeping us informed. I appreciate the work, sir.
You bet. Y'all take care.
752 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Climatech. Heating and cooling is what we know. Call 857-4700.
Hello again, everyone. Travis Thompson here from Climatech of Professional Air, your independently owned American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Heating and air conditioning issues are no fun, and as systems get older, they seem to develop more problems. We're beginning the new year with a bang by introducing our Climatech Comfort System that will provide you with complete worry-free HVAC. You can say goodbye to costly repairs, uncomfortable humidity levels, and high energy costs, while at the same time enjoy clean, purified air inside your home. Our Climatech Comfort System has a full 10-year extended warranty that covers any repairs you might need, including all parts and labor. And more importantly, your home will be more comfortable than it's ever been. Want to know more? Give me a call or visit ClimatechProAir.com.
Climatech. Heating and cooling is what we know. Call 857-4700.
It's the biggest party of the year, coming April 6th.
Pensacola Little Theater presents Cabaret. Express yourself. Come paint the town red. Pensacola Little Theater transforms the entire building and the surrounding block into an indoor and outdoor entertainment complex for one unforgettable night. You'll find yourself winding through the bands, DJs, flash mobs, ballerinas, singers, dancers, and so much more, including 6 open bars and culinary art. Don't miss the biggest party of the year, Cabaret.
Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
My name is Tasca, and I started working here 20 years ago. I'm glad Diana, and it's been 12 years for me.
Hi, I'm Norma, and 20 years is my number.
I'm Sandy, and it's been 9 years for me.
And I'm Jeff, and I'm the General Sales Manager, and I'm inviting you to join our sales team here at News Radio 92.3. If you have sales experience, a desire for a career that is fun, exciting, while working with local and regional businesses, and with an uncapped income, we would like to hear from you. Send your resume to HR at newsradio1620.com. ADX Communication is an equal opportunity employer.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin, 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
Do you remember the brand on the Sit, Ubu, Sit? Who was the production company? Do you remember?
Oh, man.
Can you see the dog? Can you see the little papers?
Kelly?
Falling into the little C off of the typewriter?
That's who I was named after. Stephen J. Cannell.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, interesting. All right.
For those in the radio world, my first name is actually Stephen.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Let's see. That was, it was Gulf Western? Was that the, I forget. Anyway, and a couple of, Paramount, I think, at the time, too. So. Man, that brings back so many memories. How many hundreds of times did you see that little sounder? 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. Jake's got traffic on the fives. Jake?
All righty. Well, if you're on I-10 eastbound headed toward Milton this morning and you exit on Highway 87, Highway 87 southbound, right at that exit ramp from I-10 eastbound, that is slow going right now. We had an accident there earlier with roadblock and injuries, and the light at the end of that exit ramp is blinking yellow at the moment. Otherwise, around town, I'm not seeing any major accidents or slowdowns to report. Looks like I-10 and I-110 are flowing smoothly. Highway 98 westbound through Gulf Breeze is good. Eastbound through Navarre and Windhaven on Highway 98 is good as well. Highway 29 is good from the Atmore cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. 9 Mile is accident-free and not showing any delays in Carr City. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
All right, thanks so much, Jake. Let's see, in the newsroom now with David Wayne and our headlines. David?
Former President Trump's New York hush money trial will begin next month. A judge rejected a further delay in that case and said jury selection to begin on April 15th. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has now canceled plans to send a delegation to Washington this week. The State Department called that surprising and unfortunate. Netanyahu's decision came after the U.S. decided against vetoing a U.N. Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is apparently recovering after getting a pacemaker installed.
The actor and former California governor announced the news on his podcast, saying it happened last week. Schwarzenegger's had 3 open-heart surgeries in the past and says that scar tissue from his last one was causing an irregular heartbeat. I'm Mark Mayfield.
So hopefully a quick recovery for the Terminator.
Well, now that he's got a device, you know, it's that first piece. You know, just ask Luke, you know?
Right.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:57 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What was I going to tell you about? Something went straight out of my head when I was going to tell you about it. Now, all of a sudden, it happens sometimes. Shohei Ohtani, superstar for the Dodgers, actually did the press conference yesterday and said, never did nothing to nobody, no how. Right.
So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports.
That's a new translator, by the way, not the old translator.
Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening.
And he had this to say.
I did not, never agreed to pay off the debt. Or, you know, make payments to the bookmaker.
So he didn't pay him. He didn't make bets. He didn't bet on anything. He didn't pay a bookie. Nothing, no how. I was lied to and took my money and used it inappropriately.
And it was revealed to me during that meeting that he admitted that he was sending money using my account to the bookmaker.
So every scenario here that would possibly lead to problems for Shohei Ohtani, he is denying and saying he was completely taken advantage of in this case. Because, you know, even if all he did was bail out his buddy by making a payment to the bookie, well, that would be a problem because now you're paying an illegal bookmaking operation, which in the state of California is illegal. And also, according to MLB rules, if you pay a bookie, that's participating in, I assume that's participating in an illegal endeavor. And they have rules that you can't bet unless it's legal in the place that you're betting. And you can never bet on baseball, of course. So, complete denial of everything.